any more former or present presidents. My task here today is to talk about the independence of the monitoring bodies, but I would start with a brief introduction to the Charter. As some of you well know, it's the treaty that was concluded for the protection and promotion of minority and regional languages. And it has so far been ratified by 25 states, members of the Council of Europe, which clearly means that 22 states have not ratified it. And in that respect, I always actually show great respect for the states that have ratified, because to be critical about them means forgetting about those 22 that have not even ratified or not even signed the Charter. So this is the treaty that was designed for the protection of minority original languages as a cultural heritage. So it was designed to protect the languages, not necessarily the speakers, but as time went by, we actually came to the place where now, of course, we have to look at the speakers of these languages. Why are the speakers important? Because during our monitoring, we also talk to the speakers. We try to get an insight into their position, into their thoughts, into their ideas about how their own language should be protected or promoted. The languages covered are those that are traditionally spoken on the territory of that state party. And, of course, there comes the first issue, is how to define the language. What languages should be protected? What languages are those that are traditionally spoken on the territory of that particular state? We usually take account of what the state declares when they ratify. They declared what languages they consider protected under the Charter. But sometimes we had problems with that, because we found, for example, in the case of Spain, that the Spanish authorities did not think of all the languages traditionally spoken on their territories. They only thought of the languages that had co-official status in the autonomous communities. So it was the task of our committee to remind them also of those other languages which are spoken throughout the territory, even on another continent, because there is a part of the Spanish territory also on African soil. And so we reminded them of those languages that are also traditionally spoken in Spain. An additional problem in definition is that the Charter explicitly excludes immigrant languages. And there comes the problem. How long does a language have to be spoken on a territory before it becomes a traditional language and not an immigrant language anymore? And so to take the case of the Croatian language in Slovenia, Slovenia has a consistent approach that the Croatian language spoken in Slovenia is an immigrant language because allegedly the speakers came in during the period of the common state. But that has also been the history of the last 70 years. So by now, perhaps this element of tradition is already more present. How tradition is Turkish in Germany? Perhaps in a couple of years we will ask that question and then consider perhaps even that language as a traditional language spoken on the territory of the state party. The problem of definition also may refer to the problem of big languages. Somebody mentioned 9-10 millions of the Catalan speakers. When I was in Catalonia, it was like 6-7, but the number obviously grows. So how many speakers of Catalan? And then you come to Spain and you tell them that they are speakers of the minority of a minority language, and then some of the speakers will get offended. But in the context of Spain, of course, this is a minority language, regardless of the number of speakers, although there might be different solutions possible under the Charter. The monitoring of the Charter is based on state reports. So every 3 years, states' parties are obliged to submit their reports to the Secretary General of the Council of Europe. And you already heard my colleague Professor Oetter speaking about the problems of delays. So now we have this rather, it's like a contagious problem spreading among the state's parties of delay in submitting their reports. The reports are then examined by the Committee of Experts. So we are the body. We have as many members as the state's parties, so there are 25 members. We do not represent, of course, our countries or our at least even less so our governments, but we are independent experts. And we examine the state report. We try to go, and so far we have always gone to the on-the-spot visit to speak with the representatives of the speakers, because we established that they are really a very good source of information. However, we are well aware. I was asked that question on one of the conferences. I think it was in Graz. Somebody asked, "Well, how do you ensure that you are not manipulated by the representatives?" Because obviously they also have an agenda. They want to deliver a certain message and to get a certain result with these interviews. But then we take these issues to the authorities, and then we try to talk to all the interested parties and to establish a certain situation that we think is realistic. Even in that phase, we can see that the committee works independently. So we choose which NGOs and which representatives we want to meet and talk to them. Of course, the authorities help us. They offer a list, but we are free to choose from whatever list of the representatives of the speakers in order to get a more realistic picture of the situation. Then we write a report, and of course the size of the report will depend on many factors. It will depend first of all from the situation in the country. So if you have a country reporting on a big number of languages and on a very complex such situation, then you will get a big report. And I remember the last but one Spanish report had more than 1,000 pages. So we had to go through these 1,000 pages and to come up with our own report, include all other information that we collected in the report and make our own report. And according to the charter, we report to the Committee of Ministers. And according to the charter, this report should also have a list, a proposal of recommendations to the country in question. Now, if we are independent experts, as the Committee of Experts, and we try to make our report as objective as possible, the Committee of Ministers obviously is a political body, and they will look at the report and the list of proposals from the political point of view. According to the charter, they are, so to speak, not allowed to... Oh, okay. Okay, not to... they're not allowed to touch the report, but just the proposals, and then they are free to make their own proposals. I will just, if you allow me, why do I have my phone? Because I just received last Friday a note from our Spanish colleague that the Spanish Supreme Court made the decision about the Galician legislation not allowing for more than 50% of the education to be in Galician. And that is contrary to what we established and to what the Committee of Ministers proposed. And the answer by the judges, distinguished judges of the Spanish Supreme Court, was that these recommendations are not obligatory. And they decided that they will allow this controversial legislation to remain in force. So whatever work we do, if we do not find a partner or partners in the authorities of the countries, then we will not succeed in our mission of promoting and protecting minority languages. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam.